FTR or Mobile.
You're KQ4 LOO. How are you today, Tom?
There's a big old something right there in the middle of the road here. And I guess they're going to get out and pick it up. Yeah, a metal box of some kind. About, let me turn this radio off. About 2 or 3 foot square. That would not be a good thing to run over today. How's your day?
That'd probably ruin your day. So far, I'm okay. Just trying to relax a little bit. My only day off for the next foreseeable future.
And that's bad. Good for the pocketbook, bad for the bones. Oh, well, I lost an antenna in that windstorm yesterday. I went out and checked this morning, and my 160-meter antenna was down. And I did get very lucky, though. There was a splice in it, and it's been in there for, oh, I'd say 5 or 6 years. And never had a bit of trouble. It's a special underground splice that I get at Lowe's. And I noticed I didn't quite evenly get the two wires spaced as nicely as I should have inside of it. But it actually just come loose from that. And it's 265 feet long. And I'm 77 years old. I can only walk that far, so I use my lawnmower for a go-kart. But I'm slowly getting it, but we're headed down to pick up one of those spices, which with my luck, they'll be out of them, but I hope they got them.
Take some time to find out. You get down in the dirt.
Your 160-meter antenna, how tall exactly is it, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I don't mind you asking, Lloyd. I have a super loop, 160-meter, what do they call it? Well, it'll come to me in a minute. But the 160-meter Carolina Windham is up about, I'd say it's at least 60 feet. It's on top of the oak trees, and it's just a wire antenna line, and drop by and look sometime. But that wire is, they call it, I think it's a 532 silky, and it's a twisted, kind of like, remind you of THHN from, you know, regular machine tool wire, only it's copper clad steel, and it's insulated, and it's worth every penny. It's tough, and it's a lot easier to handle than copper clad steel by itself. A lot easier. That stuff's like handling spring steel, you know. But I'd say 60 feet on average.
Reason I asked is because I've got a little small, I don't remember the brand name, I bought it a couple years ago, but little quarter wave ground plane antenna, and what I was thinking about doing was just like slinging a rock over a tree branch or something and hoisting it up and just using it like that if I could to that, you know. Didn't know if that would work well or not, just thought it might be worth a try.
I got busy here. How is it rigged?
Yeah, but what I was thinking about doing was like slinging a rock over a tree branch and hoisting it up. It's a quarter wave ground plane antenna, a little small one, but probably I would say hopefully it's effective. I don't quite remember the brand name. I bought it a couple of years ago, and I've never even pulled it out of the box other than just to take a quick look at it once I got it. But I was just wondering if that might be feasible if I were just like just hoist it up and have the cable hooked, the antenna cable hooked up to it and have it hanging from a tree branch.
See, that there'd be a problem if you got a tuner, and you got a tuner in your radio, of course, and they'll usually tune a wide range. A lot of them say 10 to 1, but I doubt that. But you wouldn't want it that high anyways. Not much over 3 to 1 or 4 to 1, then you'd be all right. You can slap an antenna analyzer on it after you throw it up there and see what it looks like, Lloyd.
Okay, I mean, this is when I first started getting into it, so I figured I might end up having to do that in case SHTF happens and I have to bug out or something and need a radio and some communications equipment. I didn't know if that would be work or not, but apparently, according to you, it just might.
NY4G's website, he does a lot of YouTubes, and you'd be surprised how small antennas and very light antennas are, because he did summits on the air, and he's done over 100 different summits, and he fabricates everything himself, and that's usually what it amounts to, is just a piece of wire thrown up over a tree or something, and you might learn a lot there. He's got great YouTubes on that, and he's a very, very smart man. And NY4G. And all I can say is you can try it, and if your radio don't like it, it'll tell you. See what it says when you auto tune it. And have you got an antenna analyzer you can put on it?
No, I've not gotten an analyzer yet. I probably should. Investing one. I'm slowly but surely messing with this ham radio stuff. I've had some vehicle issues I've had to focus on more. So that's where a lot of my money's been going to. I can't even go buy ammo right now because having to do all this other stuff in my vehicle.
Fellas, this is Donnie, KQ4BGE. I was just listening to you, fellas. Wanted to run something by you. I don't know your name there, but if you was to hoist your quarter-wave ground plane through a string on a tree limb, it does work. The biggest factor is, like this gentleman said, you need an analyzer. A friend of mine took a center insulator, and we took three sticks and tied them into a triangular pattern, and made three ground radials, and then made a vertical radial, and then we just tied the vertical radio straight to a string, and then threw the line over a tree and hoisted that up. It's called a jungle antenna, and we made it with a Cobra connector or a center insulator, whichever, what have you. It basically turns it into a quarter-wave ground plane. It will work. The worst part is if you catch a big wind, it will fly around. You might could tie some guy wires to it.
I was thinking either that or maybe just make sure that my antenna line is probably a little bit on the tighter side.
Do that. And like I said, all we did was just to, you can use like a Cobra connector, and instead of even using insulators at the end of the wires, we would tie the top wire or the center radial, what am I trying to say? I can't think of the word. Anyways, the radiating element, that's what I'm trying to say. The radiating element, we just tied the end of that wire to a knot on a string and then hoisted it up in the air. And the three sticks, when you tie those off to the ground radials, it will hold them out in a 45-degree angle while also keeping, basically just kind of keeping them in a, you know, vertical light pattern.
Admit Lowe's, and I'll catch you later and send your OTR.
With TR, thank you for talking to me for a couple minutes there, Tom. I didn't catch the other station's name. I'm KQ4LOO.
N0TR, sorry to jump in here. I didn't mean to run you off or anything like that or get in between you guys' conversation. I just wanted to throw that out there. 73s, hope you have a good day. Yeah, Donnie on this end. I'm in Central South Carolina. Roger.
You go right ahead, Donnie. I'm pulling into Lowe's. I got to get out is why I'm clearing. You didn't bother anything. Nice to meet you. N0T on.
Well.
Good day. Hey, Donnie. I appreciate that. I mean, I was just curious if it would work. It seemed like a video where somebody was suggesting doing that, and they didn't actually show them doing it. And I'm like, okay, well, let me see if that'll work. I hadn't even done it yet, but you said it does work, and Tom said it would probably work too. So, yeah, I appreciate that information.
No problem at all, my friend. Yeah, me and my buddy, we were doing that as a prepper type situation. We were trying it out, and I don't know whereabouts you're located, but if you need to borrow, I've got a Nano VNA. I'll let you borrow it if you want to use that as an analyzer.
Currently located in Piedmont, South Carolina, so I'm a little ways from you, probably.
To that, I don't know, my email is good on QRZ, we could exchange information, and if you want, I can actually put something together to kind of show you what me and my friend did, but essentially all it is, you know, the radiating elements on one side, and then you tie three wires together for a ground element. Take three sticks, tie them in a triangular-like pattern to, you know, with the distance, so that way you can adjust the angles of the ground radials. And then we just hoist it up in a tray with some coax.
Got a pen and paper. I'll go ahead and give you my email address, because I'm not near PN right now, and I'm not able to write your call sign down.
To that, I'll type your email address right here in my phone, that way I'll have it. Give me 1 second. All right, shoot your email address at me.
Tango, Alpha, Lima, Paul, Oscar, Lima, Lima, Alpha, Romeo, Delta, 4, @gmail.com. Once again, Tango, Alpha, Lima, Paul, Oscar, Lima, Lima, Alpha, Romeo, Delta, the number 4, @gmail.com.
That I'll email you on that account there, and I'll get you my number, and then if you want, I can throw something together, and I got to find my center insulator that I have, and just kind of show you basically how we done it, if you want. We found it on, or my buddy found it. I think the guy's name was Doug Thornton, who explained it in a article that he put out. It's really neat. I mean, you just do the dimensions for whatever frequency you want it. So, like, basically, if you are in that situation where you're trying to bug, and you can throw something together that's quick, omnidirectional, and it's super simple.
Like I said, I've already got one, and it takes like maybe 15 minutes to assemble, 20 minutes. So it's really not that difficult for what I actually have. It's just the more finding the good location is probably going to take more time than anything.
Roger that. Where I used to live, when I first got into ham radio, a gentleman was like, yeah, just throw a wire in a tree. I was like, I got plenty of trees. I said, but the limbs are so close together, you get tangled up before you get it in the tree, Roger.
Keep saying that. Yeah, I guess I'm just going to break it down and go ahead and get me an analyzer. One of my Elmers, Dave, he, when I first got into it, you know, I brought him my little bow thing that I had before I ever really got into it real deep, you know, starting to anyway. He threw it on his antenna. He threw put his analyzer on my little small antennas I had. He's like, these are worthless. You're going to burn your radio. You can listen all day long, but do not transmit or you won't have a radio.
Do that. That's like one time, you know, just being ignorant to the ham radio world, I had ordered a Yagi off the internet. And I thought, you know, man, I see these guys, you know, they just kind of hold Yaggies up, you know. I was like, well, I'll put this thing on the end of a pole and hold it up. And then I got to thinking, I said, well, wait a minute. I probably shouldn't do that. And I was kind of like your situation. If I would have tried it, man, I'd have been out of the radio.
I've got good use out of that little bow thing because he showed me this antenna that he suggested I get for the radio, and I went and got it, and I used it for the longest time until I broke down and finally bought this ICOM 2730 Bravo unit.
Well, roger that. Yeah, I want to get me a ICOM 7300 one of these days. I also want to try out one of those Yaesu FT891s, but that's going to be at a future date, not anytime soon.
My buddy, who's not a ham operator, but he knows all about the stuff. I mean, he really knows his stuff with this, and I've been trying to encourage him to go get his license so we can all communicate here. But he went and bought himself a tri-bander that he put into an ammo can with a little battery, and he's got, I'm assuming it's kind of the same antenna I got, which is the Diamond. And it works pretty well. So he kind of got on me. He's like, why don't you get you a tri-band like mine? I'm like, I wasn't spending $900. I'm going to spend $500.
That's right. I call it hamming on a budget. Yeah, man, sometimes, you know, I want that radio, but I don't want to spend the money on that radio, you know. And I totally get it. That's pretty neat. That's something else I want to work on, is trying to build something like that, a little on-the-go radio, and, you know, have, like, external hookups as well. So, like, if I wanted to run it off of, you know, a power supply, I can. But if I want to quick disconnect and run off on a battery, that'd be fun to do. I just haven't got around to trying that yet.
Specifically for like the SHTF scenarios too, just in case, so that way if we have to go out in the woods somewhere or hide or whatever, get away from the hordes of masses of hordes and stuff that's coming at you, you know.
Roger that. Yeah, I tell you what, I was actually really shocked whenever Helene hit, how much ham radio come into play. And you know, I had gotten into it kind of, you know, kind of the same reason, you know. I've always actually wanted to try it, but man, it's so expensive. And you know, I got to talking to a buddy of mine. He's like, well, we can just go get our license, you know. I said, okay, we'll go do that. So we got our license. I've done a little more research. Dang, you can get into this for kind of cheap, you know. So got into it, and now I'm four radios in, five radios in. Price tag keeps going ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yeah, I think I've got like six or seven HTs myself, and this mobile here. But yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting when he first made it. I'm like,
exactly right, man. I mean, it's pretty neat how some of these guys put this stuff together, you know. I wish I kind of had the skill set to build some, you know, of these things like these guys do. Like, you know, I can make a quick makeshift homebrew antenna, but I'd love to have the skill and the know-how to really create things like some of these other guys do that break down, they're durable, you know, it's not just a couple of wires kind of somewhat soldered together, you know what I mean?
And as far as what you said about ham radio use during Helene, that is another reason that I kind of wanted to get into it, not just for SHTF, but just for, like, disaster relief and recovery and finding your loved ones. Because, I mean, I reached out to quite a few people during Helene, and I had some people that I was able to get a hold of that are up close to where my family is. Patrick's one of them. I don't know if you know him. I think he's KO4HKX or something like that. I think that's his call sign. But I spoke to him quite a bit during that situation, and it really... I find this to be a very useful tool in situations like that.
Roger that. I don't know him very personally, but I know him through the radio. And yeah, those guys, and Patrick, they
the ham radio guys did. And you know, it's so fun, people sit there and say, well, I bet you haven't missed the beat with those radios. And I've been, no, seriously, haven't. And I tried to encourage them, hey, you know, this is a good way to communicate, especially in a time like this. It's only about 30 bucks to get your license, but it's not hard. You should definitely go for it. One guy said, hey, you got any extra radios? Well, right now I don't, but I'll be on tomorrow some once you get your license. But, you know, once the all the storm passed and everything,
really? Like, you just saw what you went through, and now you're not even worried about it? And I said, well, you go on about your way, then. I'm not going to force you. Or, excuse me, that's the wrong way to say it. I'm not going to try to force you.
For some reason, you came in very clear, but very low, and all of a sudden it beeped, and then you got louder. I'm not sure what happened, but you were very, very, very low.
I don't know. Maybe I had the mic a little too far away from my mouth. I feel like I've always had a loud voice, so I try to tend to keep the mic a little further away so I don't distort the audio. But I might have had it a little too far away.
KB2HXS.
KB2HXS. How you doing, buddy? This is KQ4LOO. I'm currently speaking with my new friend, Donnie.
Good afternoon, guys. Just want to make a quick call. I'm going to be out of your hair, if you don't mind.
You go do what you got to do, my friend. Hop on in.
Hang on one second. KB4CBA, KB2HXS, you're on, Dave? Yeah, KB2HXS. Continue. I'm going to bow out. I'm meeting the wife for lunch, and I got another service call to get to.
Have a good the rest of your day.
73, KAB2HXS, out.
Enjoy that dinner.
Yeah, like I said, there's a little beep, and then all of a sudden you got louder again. I thought it was kind of weird, never heard that before.
Yeah, it could be something with my radio, you know, you never know. Everything affects everything, is what I hear in ham radio.
But anyway, it's good talking to you. I'm going to go back to listening to my daily doom and gloom updates on YouTube, which is kind of weird. That's kind of where I got the idea for that antenna setup was. And that's where my buddy got the idea for doing what he did. And it works pretty good, actually.
Yeah, well, don't get a little too gloomy on us now. We still need some good pep in our step. Well, my friend, you enjoy your video there, and yeah, like I say, if you ever need to borrow anything, or if I can help out in any way, I'm more than glad to, man. It's nice talking with you, nice meeting you, appreciate the QSO, and y'all let me jump in there. 73's to you, this is KQ4BGE, and I'll be clear on your final.
Don't forget to shoot me that email with that information, give me your call sign in the email, too. And your name, so that way I remember you, exactly who you are if I had to go back to you in the future and reference you. But definitely, thank you very much, KQ4LOO. I will be cleared also.
Not only include it, what I'll try to do is draw it out a little bit so you can just kind of see what I was talking about. But anyways, 73 is Kilo Quebec 4, Bravo Golf Echo.